Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 626 of the Overseas Connection podcast. Today is April 11th, 2021. We're almost halfway through the year. Almost. Not quite. Getting there.
Crazy, isn't it?
It is. Hey, I'm Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. And that lovely voice you just heard, that was Miss Kim Woods. Kim.
Howdy, everybody. Yeah, that's me. I'm GamerGirl27. Practically everywhere, and howdy from a slightly sunny Missouri for a change. So great to be here.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And also on the show today, spinning the decks, paying attention at all times, Mr. Robin Tate.
Hello there, everybody. I'm just in from a quick riot just down into Belfast, just to throw a few bricks and burn a few buses. I live very close to a bus making factory. And we're short of orders, so they've asked us all to go out and burn some buses. So, it's Robin Tate here in Ballymena in Northern Ireland, and we're on the show. Here we go. Yeah.
There you go. And if you're not familiar with the show, we are a video game podcast at our core. We talk about life. We talk about laughs, drinks occasionally. We have a good time with the show. So sit back for the next hour and a half, 2 hours, enjoy some banter. We are on every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, and the only time zone that Kim cares about, 3 p.m. Central. We are on twitch.tv. We are on YouTube as well. We used to be on Mixer, but we were so popular on Mixer that they decided to cancel the channel. That's it. That's the deal. We should talk about some birthdays, though, before we get started. We have a couple to celebrate, a couple past birthdays that we forgot to mention. We want to mention for sure. RCGC Sarah celebrated her 21st birthday on April 9th. Congratulations, Sarah. It's fantastic. 21, such a lovely time of life. I have to give a big shout out to my son, Colin, who turned 12 years old. I cannot believe it still on April 7th.
You're going to have a teenager soon.
Oh, don't even remind me. I'm actually already constantly being reminded of him becoming a teenager when he has little boy issues literally popping up in the most inopportune times. That's always fun.
It still happens to me all the time.
The difference is we care about when it happens with our son. Robin, you don't care. You let everybody see it.
Yep.
And finally, Lee Marsh on April 12th. He is turning 73. That's, again, fantastic time. Wonderful. Celebrate your life, Lee. Lee Marsh. Or March. I think it's March. I think it goes by Marsh. It's at least
Marsh.
Lee Marsh.
Marsh, yeah.
I'm the worst at names. We already know this. Anybody who just asked Nick, I am the worst at saying last names. I freely admit it. So there. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to everybody. Let's play him a song.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Insert name here. Happy birthday to you.
Gentleman was not recognized.
Yeah.
Don't you just love hearing Adam Schiff? Isn't it wonderful just to hear him?
It is. He's like it really puts an exclamation point to that whole song.
He's like herpes.
And then some.
Exactly.
All right. Let's talk some story time, shall we?
Hooray, story time. Hooray, story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
If you're wondering what story time is, this is, of course, the tried and true section of the podcast where we would just talk about life. I think every podcast does this now. But you know what? Why break tradition? So we're just going to keep doing what we do, which is talk about what's been going on with us. So let's start with Kim.
Oh, all right. Well, not much is going on. I don't kind of get into this maybe a little later. I watched, I watched the Snyder Cut the other day, and how I complained the sound on my TV was terrible. So I decided to get a sound bar for my TV because the speakers on my TV are just awful. And it's amazing because it's, you know, a partially brand new TV. You'd think the speakers would be good, but they're, I don't know. I don't know if it's because they're small or, you know, what the deal is. But I feel like I'm an 80-year-old man, and I have to crank it all the way up in order to hear anything. So
There's a lot of jokes to be made right now. There are a ton. Right. Yeah, but we're not gonna. We're not gonna.
All right.
We're gonna be good.
I'm surprised.
Kim, I mean, you're actually, it's pretty common these days that TV manufacturers, especially I feel like those that have their own soundboard line, you know, like Vizio, they have a soundbar, Samsung, Sony, they all have audio components. I feel like the TV speakers they put in their TVs are purposely not that great. They want you to go out and buy that additional home theater setup. They don't want it to be a great experience out of the box. You need more. So
yes,
welcome to the rat race.
Right. So anyway, after a little bit of research and whatnot, I finally got one. I got the Samsung T550. And I was looking at the little higher Yamaha one that had the 4K pass-through and all that, but I kind of decided, you know what, for the extra $60 or whatever it was, I'm like, you know, I don't think that's such a big deal right now. I mean, right now my TV, with everything that's hooked up to it the way it is, it still melts my eyeballs. So I don't really think the 4K pass-through is going to, you know, make it that much better, and I'm not sure I want to because I like my eyeballs and they might just melt off completely. So we don't want that. So... Because I've got a splitter, you know, on my TV now, and everybody's like, well, you know, that kind of degrades it a little anyway, so.
Well, yeah, it may take some special setup, and the only reason why, and we were talking about this, just so the listeners know, we were talking about this on our WhatsApp group, we were talking about why you'd want 4K pass-through, and basically 4K pass-through, what it's doing when you have that on your audio system. It's allowing you to plug the HDMI coming out from, say, your Xbox into the sound bar, and it'll take the video quality basically and pass it through the sound bar and just directly feed it into your TV. So it doesn't degrade the video, so it won't lessen the resolution because what can happen is, let's say you have a sound bar that only outputs at 1080p, then what if you
plug in even your 4K signal into the 1080p soundbar, it's going to output at 1080p to your TV. So you literally could see a difference. I hope that's not the case, obviously. Or, you know, it might be doing upsampling. There's a lot of different things that will happen. So just know, it's a good FYI.
Yep.
It's funny, my Samsung Frame TV, now this has nothing to do with sound, but it has a separate box for all of the cables. So it has like about 10 HDMI ports and opticals, and, you know, lots and lots of network ports and everything, but it's a separate thing. And I don't know, is that to make it thinner? Or I suppose it's a frame. It doesn't want cables in the back of mine. Mine's tied against the wall. That's why it is.
Yeah.
I just thought that through live. You seen it. You felt it with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you felt the wheels turning.
So it is, I forgot what they call that tech, but it is actually a Samsung thing. So it has like this big connector you connect into the back of the TV.
No, there's one. The only thing that comes out of it to this box is one fiber optic cable.
Right. Sorry. You're right.
Yeah, it's class.
One cable coming out, but it goes to like almost like a hub box.
Yeah. It's clever.
Yeah.
Clever. Damn.
Clever girl.
So did you get a big sound bar then?
Yes, I got a sound bar and I got the subwoofer to go with it, and it's a wireless subwoofer, so that's nice. I don't have a bunch of wires running everywhere, so that's nice. I'm gonna have to kind of move things around a little bit because it's got the ARC ability, you know, where you can use the one remote with it and all that. So I'll have to unplug my Roku box from that, and then, I don't know, I'm going to have to plug my Roku box into my splitter or something like that, because I do have the HDMI, I don't know, called splitter or whatever you want to call it, because I have the Xbox to the PlayStation, and I only had two HDMI ports on the back of my TV, so I got the little box with the extra ports. So, I don't know, I'll figure it out, because there is even an HDMI plugin on the back of the soundbar, but it only upscales it to 1080p. I might run the Roku through that, because really it's not going to bother me. Yeah. So, because, you know, I watch TV on it, like, less than 50%. It's mainly for the Xbox and stuff like that. So as long as the Xbox still looks good, I'm not real worried about what the TV looks like. So, that and it may sense. Not, you know, and it may not look that bad. So, it may not be a big deal. We'll see.
I don't think it will look bad. That's my prediction.
So, and like I said, if all else fails in my little HDMI box that the PlayStation and everything else is hooked into, there is an extra spot in it. So if I want to, I can hook the Roku box into that. No biggie. So, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of excited. It'll be nice to not have to crank my TV up to 30 in order to hear it. So that'll be nice.
That'll be nice.
And the subwoofer will be nice for, like, movies with the big booms and all that stuff. So.
Yeah, I do like having the wireless subwoofer. That is it is nice tech to have. I ended up taking my subwoofer and I put it behind our sofa. So when all the big subwoofer stuff is happening, you know, you feel it because it literally will vibrate right into my butt, which is great. Mm-hmm. Let me just say, if you ever, you need things to vibrate into your butt.
I don't know. You are one of the first people to discover what you could do with an Xbox controller. So that new vibration.
It was him. It wasn't me.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, awesome. So soundbar coming. What else? Yeah. What else has been going on?
All of us siblings went together, and we got my dad a grill for his birthday. His birthday is on the 25th, so we just decided to get him a grill. Well, then my youngest brother kind of ran with it, and he went over to Home Depot and went ahead and bought the grill and everything. And so we gave that to him there last weekend because it was Easter and everybody was going to be down, so we barbecued or grilled, whatever.
Yeah, those little disposable ones are fantastic, Kim. That's lovely. That was very nice of you.
Yeah, right.
I'm assuming we went propane gas on the grill.
My brother-in-law actually likes charcoal, but we went propane because I didn't want to have to remember to buy charcoal every time I turned around.
It's so much more convenient. Yeah.
Exactly. We got him a Weber. It was about, I don't know, maybe spent about $500 on it all together. So, because I wanted one that we could, you know, that wouldn't rot out in like 2 years. Because it seemed like when I went cheap before, and it seemed like in 2 years the bottoms of them would rot out or whatever. They'd stop working. And my brother's had a Weber for, I don't know, for years now. And it still looks practically brand new. So I thought, well, let's spend a little extra money and get him a good one. Because I want it to hang around for a while.
I'm in the market. I'm in the market.
I would, if you already don't have it, it may have come with the grill, but get a grill cover for it.
Yeah.
We got especially one of those. The grill cover. We got the little aluminum pans to put underneath it to catch the grease and all of that. Right. So, and it's on our front porch, so it's covered. So, technically. Okay. So,
my one, Kim, is doing exactly what you're saying. It's starting to rot a bit inside. It looks okay from the outside. But inside, it's getting a bit... But it's had a lot of use, and I've had it since we moved here. So that's, 8 or 9 years. And I didn't pay big bucks for it. But I'm thinking about... Weber's, I don't know, if over there, but they're very, very expensive over here. So...
They're pretty expensive over here, too. I mean, to be honest, you're paying a bit on name with Weber.
Yeah.
Because they are kind of the leader in barbecue. They do come with, like, a premium. I think they... Just the name alone adds $50 to the price tag, if not more.
Probably.
But they're good. They are good barbecues. So there is that.
Well, hopefully. We'll see. Like I said, it was like it was almost $600 by the time we bought the cover and everything else. And my other siblings, well, my youngest sister, even, she about had a shit fit. But I figured it was for dad, so, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. I grill a ton. I love being on the barbecue. We bought a five burner barbecue, you know, stainless steel, looks great, blah blah blah. Came with a rotisserie turner that you just plug in. It'll
nice.
And I have not used that once.
Yeah.
Think about it. That's the other piece of advice: is think about what you truly barbecue.
Yeah.
And don't worry about all of the other frilly stuff.
Burgers, chicken breasts, sausages, as in English sausages, that sort of thing. And maybe a bit of fish wrapped up now and again, very, very rarely. Some veg, usually on a pan, but it's usually burgers, sausages, and chicken breasts. And then and then fry off some onions. That's about it, really and truly. I mean, I love the idea of a big smoker and doing a big smoking thing, and it takes 2 days to do. But I'll do that once and go, wow, that was awesome, but it was too much effort.
Yeah, my brother's got a smoker, so I'll leave all that stuff up to him. So
yeah,
I don't have the patience or any of that. So
here's the other great advice I can give you.
Wear sunscreen.
This is just turning into the barbecue 101 show.
Right.
But the other important thing about your grill care is cleaning the grill like as soon as you're done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Don't let it sit for a while. One of the greatest things I discovered is a barbecue cleaning grill brush that has water in it. And so basically what happens is when you keep the grill running, so it's still hot, and it sprinkles out water from the nozzle of where the bristles are.
Yeah.
So as you're scraping, water is going onto it, and it literally is kind of steam cleaning as you're scraping off all of the junk. And then you just keep the grill going for a little bit longer. It dries up instantly, so you're not having to worry about rust.
Okay.
And it is super clean.
Finished cooking, I take a wire brush to it, and then...
Yeah, it's a wire brush, but it has water in it
as well? Oh, wow, okay.
And it works fantastic. I would just say get the longer version.
Are you sure? Is that what you use for your hair?
It is. It is. It's
wire brush.
How I get that look. Yeah.
Very good.
No, but it does such a good job cleaning. And then, you know, you turn the grill off once you're done cleaning it. And it literally takes all of probably 2 minutes to do it. I have the brush literally sitting next to the grill. So as soon as I'm done cooking, I have the food on the plate. It's resting for a moment. Do a quick scrape. Done.
Well, my one doesn't owe me anything. It was from a big chain store called B&Q over here. So it's one of your big hardware stores. And I had noticed that it was 50% off. So it was like 600 quid, you know, and it was down. And then they had a flash one day, 50% off everything in store. So I was chasing that, so down to, yeah. So it doesn't owe me a thing. It's a massive one. It has like the pot stove at the side of it, and then a flat griddle and a char. And I chased around the country trying to get one reserved, and I've got one. So it doesn't owe me a thing. So anywho, that's class. Time for barbecuing. Such a weird day here as well, you know, because it was sunny today and it was snowing.
Oh, wow.
That's actually beautiful.
Really weird.
To me, that is like a fantastic moment of time.
No, it's too... I mean, a year ago, the weather was fantastic here, and we were out sunbathing. In fact, last weekend? We were a few days sitting out in the sun, and weird. Ah, fuck off, DeLacy. It's just the temperature. It's funny, we were talking about this again, about our plans for the next 10 years and what we're going to do. And I mean, is there a plan? I mean, do we sell this place to a smaller place and take another place somewhere else and live between the two, you know, so winter or somewhere nice, and, you know, so.
Kind of sober.
Yeah.
They call them sober.
Exactly. Yep. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. And whether it's there, or somewhere handier for a while, and maybe it's Spain or Italy, you know, somewhere that is handier to hear, because it is more of an effort. So we'll see. But maybe I love the idea of it. So, yeah.
Cool. Kim, anything else on your end?
Not really. I'm still on the hunt for a Series X, but so far
I think you're getting closer to being able to find one. I heard some recent updates of, you know, they're supposedly getting more stock in, that kind of thing. I mean, who knows? But it has been amazing how, these both consoles have just been impossible to find. I walked through our local Target, and I just, out of curiosity, I always go check the aisle. Nothing.
Right?
Yeah.
Last week, they had some Series S's come up, and I was this close to thinking, you know what, maybe for the time being, but I don't know. I've still got my you know, 1X and all that, and I just can't pull the trigger on something that I may play for a while, and then an X will come up, and, you know, I'll jump all over that, and, well, then here we are. So
it's odd.
I'm impatiently waiting.
Don't know whether it's Woo Flu or well, I'd say Brexit, but just world shortages caused by the virus and stuff like that there. Because, I mean, for me and in work, I mean, it's such odd things that we're getting short of. Things like spring-loaded cup shoots that you see on a coffee stand. We can't get those anywhere at the moment, and we're actually bringing a pallet load of those from the States. because we can't get them from Europe. So I mean, there's some weird shortage of spare parts and stuff. Yep. You know,
there was a shortage on ketchup packets, apparently.
Mm. Yeah, who knew? I saw that the other day. But like, we have a shortage on ketchup. Packets. And I'm like, what? Yeah. How? How is a shortage on ketchup?
Packets, like... not ketchup itself. It's just the packets. So, yeah.
Weird.
Strange. Go figure. Strange, but nice to see. I mean, all their stuff as well there. I mean, I see Walt Disney World are changing their restrictions on masks in the parks. They're saying now that you can take your mask off to take a photograph, which is kind of good, because you have to keep it.
There's some
sense coming along here as well, you know. So
nothing makes me, by the way, more angry than seeing companies like that have mascot logos or whatever, them putting a mask on their mascot. It just angered, because it's like, no, I don't want you trying to make this something to be the norm.
My brother-in-law has his Instagram photograph wearing a fucking mask. Anyone has their Twitter photograph or whatever wearing a mask needs to be slapped around the head. Seriously.
Yes.
Why? Why, you dickheads? Seriously, you're so woke and so wonderful, and pat yourself on the back for wearing a mask while taking off a selfie of yourself in the house for your Twitter feed. Please! Anyway, God damn it. Speaking of me Robin, being angry,
yes.
I am beast. I am man. Oh! Yes! And that will foreshadowing. So the hot tub is now out again. It came out last week. Last year I had to repair stuff, and this year I had it all set up, and the repairs were fine. But then the machine, the pump, was leaking water, and I had to diagnose what the problem was. I ordered what I thought the problem was, little seals and bits and pieces. I got Vaseline out and Vaselined them up and put them in, put it together all again yesterday, fired it up, and it isn't leaking. And my niece, who and her boyfriend were round tonight, and they christened it. it's up and running.
Robin.
Yes,
I have hot tub questions. So one, I'm trying to remember back, but I believe you put your hot tub in kind of it's a little more of a private gazebo kind of setting.
Yeah,
correct?
The bandstand at the back of the house. Yeah,
right, the bandstand, which it kind of protects you from view of the neighbors, even though you don't have a local neighbor. Yeah. But they can't really see anything.
No, so they can't. But this year we've also added some curtains, some blinds.
Okay.
They're weighted. They're waterproof.
So your niece, 100%.
Well, no. The front ones we can see in from the house. But yes, there's one at the back to the field and to the left and the right. And that was more just for the breeze and the wind. I've added some new internal heaters inside it as well, because it does get cold here. And I added some this week as well, some solar lights to it. Some lovely little twinkly lights that come on, and they're really good, so I'm really impressed. So it's lovely. The size of the bandstand is 5 meters by 5 meters, so that's 3 feet, 3 5 3s,
15 feet by 15.
Big square with a proper big roof and everything. It's lovely. It's really, you've seen it, it's very nice.
All right. So that's absolutely. You have a fantastic setup. It's not where I was going with this.
No. So it's lovely. So
I was trying to take us down the road of is your hot tub a suit optional tub? Do you ever do you and Judith ever go out and be like, just let's
oh yeah, goodness. Yeah. Well, Judith maybe not, but definitely me. At the far side of it, at the far side of that whole area, there's this big round fire pit place.
Right,
and it's a high wall. It's hard to describe. It's like a half moon shape with a big high back, and the left and right walls sort of gradient down. And there's just like a big arch seat in it, big concrete thing. Lovely,
right?
Very farty.
It is lovely,
but it gets the sun first thing in the morning, and you can sit there until midday. And there's no wind in it, and you can sit there quite happily naked if you wanted to, because there's nobody who can see you. Anywhere from the road or the side, and then the sun, it's south facing, so that whole back area gets the sun all day long. And yeah, if Stanley's out walking down the lane, he might catch a glimpse, but he would be the only one. And it'd be all right. So yes, I'm very, do you know what, I'm very pleased with that, because it means it's not a user thing. There's nothing in the user manual to change these things. And YouTube is fantastic for this sort of stuff. So
it is.
I tracked down what the possible faults were. I diagnosed it. I got the part that's done. Sometimes when I do go all through that and spend hours and hours, it doesn't work and I end up tossing it in the bin. But I'm pleased because I've had that little tub now for 5 years.
For a few years,
five years. And you know, again, it's got plenty of use out of it, so that's good. Other stuff that's been going on with us in Judith's land. My house has turned into a full production facility. It's unbelievable. There's something going on with social media or podcasting or whatever it is, interviews, right. Whether it's this show, other stuff, or fostering with Judith.
Right.
So last week...
This is your fault, by the way.
I know.
You have brought this into your household. Mm-hmm. Joshua has really picked up on it now and really run with it.
Yeah.
And Judith has come around on it because you started including her in on all of your production stuff. And now she's doing her own.
I mean, many a night, I'm sitting there like a lonely pint where she's on the phone with her two sisters doing the whole production meetings. What videos are we putting out this week? What are we doing? Who do we have to contact? What interviews are we doing? It's getting out of hand. It really is. But last week, we made a little video. She had made the miniatures and done the story for We're Going on a Bear Hunt, the story.
Yes, I saw this.
Yeah, and this week she done this whole fabulous thing with logs and grass and ponds and bits and pieces for the Gruffalo. And we got the little Gruffalo creatures all arrived in, little plushies.
I would just like to point out, after watching the bear hunt, I did feel a need to call out Judith that she needs to step up her animation game.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's the same sort of thing, but even better for the Gruffalo this week. And it's been a lot of fun. And, of course, I video her. She's reading the book. It's very, very low-key. And she's sort of moving the animals around. This week I included a few outtakes of the things falling over and stuff like that. And us giggling. So it's fun to do. And it's going down well. And we're helping. And she's helping people. So that's good. So that's underscore.
That's the important part.
Underscore love share and foster on Instagram. Look them up. Have a follow if you're, you know, just for a laugh anyway, because it's put lots of funny stuff up. All right, funny story.
What do you want to do, Ron?
I want to do the funny. I want to do the funny story.
Okay, let's do a funny story.
Okay.
All right. So some of you's heard this, and I did record this after I did it. I've been working on this contract for the client of mine now for coming on. It must be 5 years as a company, and I was asked to get involved nearly 3 years ago. And this is a massive contract for me, okay? And this guy just is constantly changing stuff. I must, in the last 3 years, done 30 plans, 3D models, videos, so much research, brought them to sites. Anyway... We're getting
one of the one of, and real quick. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest problems you ever have as a salesperson dealing with big contracts, where they know they're a big dog to you, is they know they're a big dog and they can make changes and they're not going to get pushed back and they become very needy.
Unbelievable!
This is the ass.
So it's getting to the point. The end. There's one other company which we don't rate, and he realistically doesn't rate either. They're a cheap box company, and we're not. We're a value-added company. And we've got to the point where the final costs are in, and the last conversation we had was, look, do you know what, Robin? I don't want to get into comparing prices for a widget against a widget, and they're a couple of quid cheaper in Europe. Anyway, he phoned me on Thursday or Friday, I think this was, to say, Robin, I sat down last night with the two quotes from yous and those other guys, and you're so much dearer. And I had left the house to go to see another client. It was an hour and a half drive. And the hour and a half drive I spent on this telephone call, he was starting to go through line by line. I was getting more and more. Anyway.
Right.
Hung up the phone. It all went kind of well. You know, it was all okay. Hung up the phone in the car. And my phone rang straight away, and I seen one of my reps' names come up on the phone. And I was driving still, and I just, you know, stuck my head out and hit the button. And unknowns to me, there was two calls coming through, and my client as I had hung up on him, he immediately called me back. Immediately. And I answered the phone to my client, which I thought it was my rep. And I went, oh, Frank, fuck me. Jeez, I've just been on the phone for a fucking hour and a half with my fucking nightmare. Insert name here. And the phone went dead. Quiet. And I went, The realization at that point, just the penny dropped. And oh fuck. So I quickly phoned Frank, my guy, back and said, hi Frank, how you doing? What do you want? Okay, yeah, all right, okay. And I was hung him up and I was going to phone this chap back again. Right. And just as I was about to phone him back, he phoned me. And he went, you put your foot in it there, didn't you? I says, have you a nightmare? I says, no, Damien, that's his name. Damien,
right.
You're a bollocks. Says, this has been going on now for nearly 3 years. You haven't made up your mind up yet. You're a bollocks. I says, I'm sorry, I could have called you a cunt. But I said you're a nightmare. It's not the end of the world, you know. You're a nightmare. I said, I've done it too. But I'm going, oh, God. This is like half my year's target in one thing if this comes through. And, oh, flipping heck. Talk about Darwin Award. Unbelievable. I think I handled it okay. If I had went, no, you're mistaken. No. No, it was crossed line. No. But thankfully, I embraced my stupidity.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that was a...
There's one for sure way you'll know if you handled it properly.
Monday or Tuesday yeah. This week, yeah. When I call him and he doesn't take my call, and that meeting that was supposed to have later on the week gets pushed back. Yeah, then we'll know. Oh, we'll see.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had a gaffe like that. I have sent wrong emails to clients where, like, I literally sent them a contract for another client. And like, oops. But not me calling them basically an asshole. That has not happened.
Well, I didn't call him an asshole. Well, I called him a nightmare.
Nightmare. Well, thank God you at least just said, you know, it was nightmare.
Yeah. Kind of sort of the way it was left. I said, look, you know what, Damien? You know, thanks very much, man. You're all right. He says, but if you call me a bollocks all the way through this contract and I call you a bollocks and we can argue and fight the bit out, that's pretty good as far as I'm concerned. He says, yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah. So let's...
No, that's a good point.
So, yeah.
I think you're in good standing, Robin.
But, yeah, God almighty. Yeah, couldn't believe I did it.
In fact...
Couldn't believe I did it.
I would venture to say this actually might strengthen your relationship with him.
Actually, do you know what? I kind of think that the next time when I phone him here, I'm going to phone him tomorrow again because there is stuff that we need to talk about. But I think it'll be, all right, Damien, you bollocks. I think that's
what it's going to be. Or yeah. You call saying, hey,
oh,
Damien,
my dream client.
Robin Tate, your nightmare.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's your nightmare here, Robin Tate. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think that's the way it has to do it. Anyway, I'm nearly done with me.
Why don't we just talk about the duo?
Well, okay. Let me get my stuff out. Good book. Supers Rise Up. It mentioned it. It's R.C. Braid narrating it. It really is like a mix between Marvel and some sci-fi and bad. What do you call them? Bad.
The boys.
It's. So there's a bit of The Boys in this as well. Okay. And a bit more sci-fi, off planet sort of thing, but really, really good and some good humor in it. I'm actually on to the second book now. So Supers Rise Up is the first book. Look at it on Audible. Okay. Very, very good. And one other thing I absolutely love before we get into that movie. This is on Disney Plus. It's probably available in some other places as well. This, my son introduced this to me on Friday evening. It's made by the same people that make Rick and Morty. It's called... Solar Opposites, and it is absolutely fucking hilarious. It is so funny and irreverent and class, and people get killed and shot. The language is terrible in it, and this, the general gist of it is it's this alien sort of, they're a family.
Is it animated or is
it's animated, okay. Like Rick and Morty and stuff. Family of people or things. They arrive and they crash land. They have to try and get their their spaceship ready again. They're there. They're trying to get it fixed. But unfortunately, they hate humans completely. But they're kind of assimilating the human life. They're starting to enjoy being human and being guilty about it. So it's really, really funny. So there's two older ones. I don't know if they're a couple or not. And then there's a girl and a boy who are at high school and they're getting bullied for being aliens. And they share a bedroom in their house and they have one complete wall with little boxes which are like a foot wide by like 4 inches high. And anybody that pisses them off, they shrink ray them and make them tiny, and they put them in these boxes like an ant farm of little miniature humans. And there's almost a spin-off series now of all the stuff that goes on, of all the hundreds of people that are living inside these boxes. This Warren, it's like a mad, some of those, they almost go Mad Max. Because all they throw into them is sweets, so they're all hyper on sugar, and these tiny miniature people going in and inside. So anyway, Solar Opposites, really original, very, very, very funny. Check it out. Right. Kong versus Godzilla. I have rented it. I have watched it. We watched it last night. And nice. and it's a film.
Yeah, I would just like to point out it is Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah.
Godzilla gets top billing. Mm-hmm. There's a reason for that, you know.
Yep.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so, yeah, high production movie. Of course, lots of CGI. Trying to explain to the kids that when I was a kid growing up, not even growing up as a nipper, on Saturday mornings, Godzilla movies were what we had. We had not Long John Silver. We had
Ultraman, Godzilla.
You had Godzilla movie on Saturday mornings. You had the Wonder Horse, Champion the Wonder Horse, Casey Jones. Oh my goodness, I'm older than you. Champion the Wonder Horse. You had goodness me, Tonto. Tonto and
Lone Ranger.
That was Saturday. Yeah, that was Saturday morning TV for us. Casey Jones, you remember Casey Jones? Wow. Yeah, all that stuff, you know. And that was, and Godzilla movie was in there. So I was trying to explain to the kids that, you know, Japan, big Godzilla fans over there, and depending what, there's so many variants on the stories, whether these creatures got really big because of nuclear testing, or they were always there, and all that sort of stuff, you know. So, but high production volume, good popcorn movie.
Yep.
It's a monster movie.
It's a monster movie.
It's campy as hell.
Yeah,
and there are some cringy moments in this in terms of dialogue. It's not the greatest story.
No.
It's not winning a picture of the year, but
no.
It is a very good monster movie, and it delivered everything I hoped for in that regard.
Yeah. So the gist goes, after the last movie, Godzilla and Kong fought a bit, didn't they? Yeah. And Godzilla saved the world. Godzilla saved the city. And
now, this is the first time Godzilla and King Kong are fighting.
Oh, in the modern stuff. Okay, so Godzilla was sort of the good guy at the end of it all, a bit like the T-Rex in Jurassic Park. And if you remember Kong and Skull Island, he was in this beautiful big island. And for some reason or other, they have put King Kong in a dome, a bit like the Hunger Games, which is on Skull Island, but they're not letting him run around the place. And
it reminded me, what was the movie? It had Jim, I think it was Jim Carrey.
The Truman Show.
Yeah, the Truman Show. Yeah, that's what it reminded me of. It was the Truman Show.
So for some reason, they put him in this dome, so Godzilla...
Wait, real quick. We are very much getting spoiler-ish here.
Are we? Really?
So, yeah, I think that's the start of the movie. Point that if you plan on watching this movie and you don't want to hear the spoilers, maybe fast forward 10 minutes, but we're going to talk a little bit about the movie.
Yeah.
So let's we'll put our stopwatch on there.
Okay, so let's give it 5 minutes. So you always know that these guys are going to fight. You know, even the credits, the titles of the movie is like, the next boxing match, and it gets down to the final, and it gets down to the final is Kong versus Godzilla, and then the movie starts. But so, okay, so for some reason they put King Kong in this dome so Godzilla can't sense where he is.
See, I didn't get the sense that's why they had King Kong in the dome. I thought they just had King Kong in the dome because they were trying to keep King Kong, if you will, kind of contained. In an environment that they could study, and it would also protect him from the outside world. That could include Godzilla, but it more or less was just this habitat to keep him safe, so to speak.
So they move this King Kong around the world. Judith says, how did they get him onto that ship? So it's like this big barge they put him on.
Right.
And later on we find out they put him in a net with helicopters, and, you know, really very strong helicopters, except they only done it with about six. So, yeah, very strong
only
helicopters.
Only six, Robin. Only
yeah.
six.
So, look, it was very, very good. There are some parts of it to me were annoying. Not annoying.
I was hoping you were going to say unbelievable.
Some of the I thought some of the characters were very, very underdeveloped, even though they were very developed. No, underdeveloped. So there is the big company, which is sort of the baddie, the big company, as always in all movies. Right. And there's the big boss, and his daughter is sent to keep an eye on everything that goes along. And she seems like a kind of cool character, and she has some cool little moments. But her character really is, if she hadn't have been in it, well, it wouldn't have been any less.
Well, it wasn't real quickly, just to set this like a very overview of the characters. You have the love interest. They always have a love interest for King Kong. They do that this time in the form of a little girl. You always have to have the overarching bad guy that, you know, the premise of what he's doing is for the betterment of mankind, but really it's pretty dark at its core. And then he usually has a minion or two that works underneath him that are sub-villain characters that happens to be the daughter to a degree. But she doesn't fully flesh into a true sub-villain until, I think, later on in the movie. But, you get the sense early on she's up to no good, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And then you have... then they have the sidekick entertainment characters, which I classify them as the teen trio.
Yeah.
Yes.
The podcast. And again, even them, you had to accept that this young girl was into this because she was listening to this podcast. Her character, it wasn't really explained enough.
And this girl is the girl from Stranger Things that plays 11.
Okay.
In Stranger Things, so she has a very nerdy following. If you've seen her in Stranger Things, her character in Godzilla vs. King Kong is actually quite believable her persona is very similar.
Now there was some lovely crossovers as well. So her her father was in the Jack Black King Kong movie. He was like the hero. I'm the hero. He's the main guy that was going to be filmed and then ran away. So
He was actually in the other Godzilla movie too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
That was out 2019. So.
It's good fun. Now, and the end of it is interesting. Bits that I did like. I liked the little deaf girl, and the way she did her things with Godzilla.
Kong's love interest.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, sorry, King Kong even. Sorry, I apologize. There was no screaming in it, which is a thing that you really have with King Kong movies.
No, but I will say there's a lot of simulated death in that they crash through so many fucking buildings.
Oh, yeah. Right? I'm sitting there going,
of people had to have died.
They lost the fleet. Which meant aircraft carriers, boats, frigates, war planes, you name it, fighters. There was thousands of people killed in that scene alone. And then they get to Hong Kong, and Joshua, my son, was home for the weekend. And I said, Jesus, they're really fucking destroying Hong Kong. Well, at least the Chinese won't get it then. At least that's one positive out of it. So, yeah. So, yeah, you know, hundreds of thousands of people were killed for our entertainment in CGI.
Yeah. So the Godzilla nerd in me. So I grew up just like you, Robin, and Kim, I'm assuming you also grew up watching Godzilla movies. I was pleasantly surprised. So not only is this a Godzilla versus King Kong movie, but this actually becomes Godzilla King Kong versus Mechagodzilla, which is another character that was introduced in the Godzilla movies. And that storyline in the early Godzilla movies was aliens came to Earth and they created Mechagodzilla to try and kill Godzilla and take over the world. Pleasantly, happily surprised to say that this was not the reasoning for Mechagodzilla to be created. And I actually found kind of the why they were creating Mechagodzilla to actually be kind of, I mean, it made a little sense in that they were trying to fight these Titan monsters with another Titan monster, kind of like Pacific Rim.
Ah, that's the name I was trying to find. So, yeah. Yes, that was it. I was trying to get that last night. It was like, I couldn't remember. I could remember Rim Job, yeah, but I couldn't remember Pacific Rim. So, yeah. Yeah, so you know, that was like a Pacific Rim. And even, he controlled it through sort of VR. But yeah.
So I like that. I also did find it funny, by the way. The reality is that Mechagodzilla is being built and comes out of China.
China.
And that, once again, becomes the problems of the world, because the whole reason why Godzilla is coming after the mainland areas is because he's trying to stop Mechagodzilla from being... He senses this,
no, there was this
ancient
big
DNA.
There was this big ball thing. The big ball thing that our podcaster found after the first big explosion, the first attack. I take it that was something that was attracting Godzilla to the site.
Well, I think the way they were trying to explain it is that there's actually a skull and DNA that they pulled, a find from Gahydra. I believe it's called Gahydra, which is the three-headed monster from back in the Godzilla movies. So they found that, and they're extracting the DNA to power Mechagodzilla, which is kind of dumb if you really stop and think about it. And what's even dumber is the fact that the DNA somehow takes over and actually becomes sentient and destroys basically the humans trying to control it and becomes its own thing. But that part aside, everything else is totally realistic. No, it was, look, fun popcorn action movie, Godzilla versus King Kong, and I was pleasantly surprised.
We paid it was £15.99 to rent on all platforms, whether it's Apple, Amazon, whatever it was over here,
and it was included on HBO Max.
Oh, okay. Yep. Well, we don't have HBO over here, really. Unless you fluff it.
Well, I mean, you're still paying £15 a month, so you're getting charged for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, our cinema room was full, so I had everybody in there. There was about 10 of us watching it, so it was great. So
my wife was absolutely nowhere to be seen.
She had no idea what was going on.
Your movie.
She has no idea what was going on, but she would usually get up and get out, but she watched it all, every bit of it. So for play there.
I will just say this to put Kim, I know you said you were Team Godzilla.
Yep.
Before, Robin, I'm assuming you were Team King Kong, and that's because you are a monkey at heart.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. But carry on. I'll get back to it. I'll circle back.
And I've always been a Godzilla guy. I was actually pleasantly surprised. They answer the question of who wins in King Kong versus Godzilla in this movie.
No. Yep.
They do. Yep. And they do. Spoiler, if you didn't know, it's Godzilla.
No, I don't believe it. No.
Kicks King Kong's ass.
No.
It's a good fight, but he submits King Kong.
King Kong
stands over him, and he's like,
team.
You fucker, you want me to go more? I'll go more.
No,
Kong relents.
He had a team in his corner that got him back up again. He got him back up where he went. It was like friggin' Rocky movie. It was class. Look, okay, so when I was very, very young, okay, my parents were poor people, not poor. They were poor people. We didn't have much money. Yeah. We used to hide from the rent man. You know, I remember the rent man come knocking at the door. My mom got me out to hide and shh, don't answer the door. So yeah, we lived in this very, very small, tiny little terraced house. frig you, Kim. I shared a bedroom with my brother in bunk beds, and it was a tiny little box room. But my brother, he is an architect now. He was the project manager for the Shard in London. So he's done all right for himself, okay? But he was in the model building. Airfix models, like plastic models. Anyway, he built a King Kong model. And the King Kong model had a glowing hands and a glowing face at night time. And they were on a shelf above or across from our bunk beds. Now, I must have been 5, 6, 7 years old at the time. And my brother's about 7 years older than me. Anyway, and I remember to this day having the most terrifying nightmare of King Kong, and he was swinging on the underside of the bunk because Will was on the top and I was at the bottom, but he was swinging above me in the underside of the bunk, and I woke up screaming, and this model had to be removed at that point. That was because I was there.
You still were a King Kong fan.
But it's because I watched, and I still love the original black and white King Kong movie. Yeah. It is, if you can never seen the original King Kong movie in black and white, you got to go and watch it, because it actually still stands up as a really, really good, solid movie. And I suppose that fright and all the bits and pieces, it's always stayed with me. So I love that. That he's a big gentle giant.
Humanity to King Kong, though. There is. I mean, you know, King Kong is this. He is a gentle giant, if you will. And so I get that. I like the character of King Kong in this particular movie. I enjoyed it because, you know, he is an older King Kong.
Yeah, a bit of gray.
You know, he's a little wiser.
Yeah. He uses the wire brush with the water and everything.
So
the one thing I could have done without in this movie was the gigantic fucking bats. Oh my god.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Creepy. Boy, that gave me a little bit of a fucking nightmare. Holy cow. Because I don't like bats anyway, and there are these big gigantic fuckers, and I'm like, yeah, they pack me off. So
it was good fun. Okay, so we've been talking about it for quite a bit. I would recommend
out of stars. How many pings would you give this?
Well, unfortunately, there was no submarines in it.
That's true. If it had a there were just aircraft carriers and no submarines.
As far as I'm sorry to be a nerd, but you've got to go. I would give it four stars for enjoyability, you know, watchability. Yeah. For story and stuff, it's about a 2. But as far as an action movie that you can sit down, it's a 2 as far as depth. But a 4 as far as enjoyment. I mean, that's a bit.
I think I concur, and I see Kit nodding her head.
Yeah. Okay. Dealing with a little slow, and I'm like, okay, can we just kind of get through all this? I want to see the two, you know, badasses fight and get this over with. You know, that was my deal. So.
So I think we're about done with that.
All right. So we are done spoiling Godzilla versus King Kong.
Okay, so you didn't talk about anything you were up to, Greg.
I know I haven't yet. Let me run through that real quickly. We are running long in the two.
Yeah,
times, so Lost City Z. It was a movie that came out, I want to say, 2017. Main actor is from Sons of Anarchy. I can't remember his name. This is about basically back in the turn of the 1900s, like 1905, 1906, I think. But it's the tale of British explorers going into Bolivia and the Amazon and trying to map it, and the realization that it's not just this jungle territory, but that there actually might be civilization within this Amazon area. And I believe this is all based on true story. I could totally be wrong, but I believe that to be the case. And so it's the tale of this one particular traveler. He, you know, goes back to the Amazon a couple different times, then gets into World War One, but then finally goes back with his son, but is never seen again. And so, obviously, there's a lot of creative license that's taken within kind of what happened to him and kind of how that all came to be. But it was enjoyable enough. Pretty long movie, 2.5 hours, and I felt like it's a bit slow at times, but I enjoyed it overall. So, you know, it was a different paced movie on top of it all. So I kind of liked it. It wasn't dealing with your typical action movies these days. It was more, just kind of, talking about things that we don't normally hear about, which is the Amazon. Ruins of the Galaxy. Continue to listen to this audiobook series. I just finished up book 3. I am really enjoying this now. So book 1 was okay, and I struggled with it a little bit, and I think I talked about the fact that I kind of liked it, but it was Star Wars-esque. It really took off in book 2, and book 3 is fantastic. Very much enjoying it. I see your face, Robin. We'll get to you in a minute. I would definitely recommend this book series at this point. They have a book 4 coming out. I believe it actually just came out. If you're looking for something that has a little bit of length, R.C. Bray, again, is doing the narration of this. Really good stuff. So, very much enjoying it. Ruins of the Galaxy. Before I get into the last topic, Robin, what were you just remembering?
When you said that Star Wars, I remembered something that I watched this week, and I've never watched it before. And I watched a movie called Jupiter Ascending.
Mm.
And... Mm-hmm. It was directed and written by the Wachowski brothers. I know they're sisters now, but fuck it, they're boys, right? And I was so impressed with that movie, as camp as some of it was, that those guys have created this wonderful, expansive world like Star Wars with so much depth. All these characters with backstories, so much stuff that they really need to do more with that world. They've created a fabulous world in that, and I would and I don't know if they will or not, but wow, just so good. And you know, for a first movie, really good.
I think that movie though didn't it come out last year or the year was before?
Yeah, I know it struggled, but it's such vision in it. It's really good. I'd love to see something done with it. Anyway,
speaking of that, reminds me real quickly, just a side note, there's talk of The Last Starfighter either getting a remake or a sequel. I'm not sure what they might do with it, but I would love to see that.
Okay, I watched that regularly.
I enjoyed that movie.
I watched that regularly enough. Yeah. That was really,
wanted to talk on real quickly, and this is a more of a serious topic, but we have a lot of community members right now. We are all going through a lot of stuff, and depression is definitely a topic that doesn't necessarily get talked a lot about openly, but I know we have a lot of community members and friends and family that kind of have been going through some depression moments. And, you know, the one thing I would just say, anybody that's going through this stuff, is I know a big part of what happens with depression is it takes hold and you retract. You kind of huddle up into your own inner circle, if you will, and you kind of push the outside world further away. And just don't do that. I know that's easier said than done. But if there's anything that, you know, you can help yourself with, it's not to retreat from your friends and your family, but to embrace them. Let us help you, worrying about things that are out of your control and are even further off down the line out of your control, it does you no good to just sit and dwell on that. And by retracting and kind of escaping from your day-to-day stuff, the things that made you happy, and going into this shell only further puts you down that hole. And so, to all my friends and family and to all the community, I say, you know, reach out to us, get back on, you know, your gaming, get back talking to your friends regularly. Even when you may not think you want to do it, force yourself to do it. It's really going to be helpful at the end of the day. And I will say, not only is depression hurtful for you, but it hurts everybody around you. If you think about your surrounding family, if you're concerned over loved ones, that kind of thing, on top of it all, they're feeling your depression just as much. And so I really, this is, you know, the outcry for our community, just to say, don't let depression beat you, beat depression, fall back on your friends, embrace your loved ones, and just let us help you.
Yeah.
So that's my PSA.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
It is said with all the love in the world. And I know it oftentimes is much easier said than done. So don't think I'm trying to be flippant about it, or think that it is some easy task to just suddenly say, no, okay, I'm fine. I get it. It's not. But by continuing to do the things that made you happy prior to whatever news or situation you've gotten into, or the ongoing pandemic that has got you going down this rabbit hole, that will only help you instead of hinder you. And I know that sometimes that's hard to feel that, and you kind of just, you don't see it that way. You don't want to talk to anybody because you are upset or you are feeling depressed, but embrace us, reach out to us. We are here for you. We love you guys. And we don't want anybody to suffer from anything other than extreme happiness.
Yeah.
So
I suppose there's only one thing I could really add to that, Greg, is that, you know, if you feel really, really bad, really, really bad, and you feel like you have to take a life, like, a friend or a family member that's really, really annoying you, and you're going to bury them in your back garden.
With Bobcat?
Yeah. A hint would be that if you bury them in your back garden, to make sure that you sow, like, endangered plants on it so no one can dig it up. And that would be my top tip to get over that bit.
Fantastic, Robin. You are just helping so much. all right. On that note, let's play some games. Let's talk about games.
Shall we play a game?
I want to play a game.
You are one pathetic loser.
Just like to point out that the previous advice and attitudes are not embraced by all of us, and solely are the attitudes of Robin Tate, criminal at large. All right. Let's start with Kim. We're just going to go back to the order we had. Kim, Robin, Greg. Kim, what have you been playing?
Let's see. I played some Trine yesterday on the Switch, and we've all heard me talk about that. I don't know. I played for a good... probably about 3 hours. I think that's about as long as the Switch battery lasts. And I got pretty far on it. So
question. But which Trine is this? Is this the original Trine?
Okay. Yes. Yeah, because I've got the all of, what is there, four of them, I think? I have all four of them, and I decided to start with the first one, and then I'll work my way to the last one. Unless I get aggravated, and then who knows. But, and I'm enjoying it. My problem is when you flip between the characters so you can use their different skills in order to get somewhere, sometimes that gets a little irritating, and it takes me a little bit to, do what you need to do, I guess, because you're constantly having to switch between characters in order to, you know, get over a really big gap or, you know, do whatever you need to do. So, that takes me a little bit to get back into and get used to. But other than that, I'm enjoying it. I don't know much about the story because half the time I play with the volume off. So I don't really know what's going on other than, you know, I know there's a thief and a knight and a wizard and they're after some sort of, something or other. So, you know, because I'm usually playing in the living room and Dad's watching TV. So I figure the story's not overly important, I guess. So, okay.
Now I'm a little confused.
Okay.
That's a normal thing for me, okay?
Right.
But you're playing with the volume off. Can't you put headphones on the Switch?
Well, yes, I can put headphones in, but sometimes I just can't be bothered, you know. And if I'm only playing for like 20 minutes, it doesn't really matter much. So, you know, I've got the basic gist of the story. I just, you know.
Okay.
And a lot of times when you're playing the game, all there is the background music. So I don't feel like I'm missing a whole lot. Now, someone might, you know, send me a message and correct me. I don't know. But I'm enjoying it otherwise, other than barely knowing what's going on. So I suppose it's fine. I mean, I got three other games to figure out what the hell's going on, I suppose. So so there's that. Otherwise, I started a new game this week. I don't know if it was out of boredom or I bought it. Well, I bought it when it was really cheap, because I think I got it for like $4 in like the last big Xbox sale.
Okay.
And I've kind of been eyeballing it for a while because it looked neat and it sounded kind of neat. And that is Arise, A Simple Story. And basically what it is you're an, I think he was an elder of a tribe. And like, okay. I don't want to call him a Viking necessarily, but that's kind of what it is. He's got the furs and they did the whole bonfire cremation thing for when he died and that sort of thing. And I'm trying to think what this reminds me of exactly. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Unraveled. I think was it Unraveled?
Interesting.
The one with
okay.
Trine. Trine we're talking about here. Yeah, Trine.
No, Arise.
Arise. Oh, sorry. Arise. Yeah. Arise, Sir Arise. Robbins.
Yeah. You wake up in the afterlife. This the old man does after his ceremony. And you find memories of your past life. And you're kind of going through various little points in his life. Like when he first met his wife. You know, when they were teenagers or when they were little kids or, you know, whatever. Or like, which I haven't got to this one yet, but like when he was leading his tribe and that sort of thing. And so like I said, it kind of reminds me like I said, was it Unravel or whatever the one with
Lily Garney? Yeah.
Where, you know, you pick up little bits of memory and like mm-hmm. they show you on screen what the memory was. And that's kind of what this is like you're going through little stages. Like the one the other day that I did was you and your wife are two little kids and you're out on a hill flying a kite. And of course the kite gets away from them. So as the older man that you are now, you go through this and trying to catch the kite, you know, kind of replaying certain scenes from your past life.
Did you play a Fisherman's Tale?
No, I haven't.
Okay, yeah.
But it's on the list.
It kind of feels that the story-wise, that it's sort of reminiscing on times that have gone past and reliving previous memories.
That's kind of what this is. And the neat thing about it is it's a platformer, but the neat thing about it is you can control time. So, like, you can make it, one way you can make it, like, winter, and, like, things are frozen over and things like that. Or you can flip the stick the other way, and it could be spring, summer, fall, whatever. And time kind of slows down as you, depending on which way you maneuver the joystick.
Okay.
So, like, say, winter, the ice freezes over, so you can cross the lake easier to get to the other side. Or, say, you flip it the other way, and there's sunflowers you've got to jump from. And so depending on which way you flip the stick and where the direction of the sun is whichever way the sunflowers will be. So you can jump from them easier. I can see where later this might be a pain in the ass, but I don't know. I think it's kind of neat. Like you can kind of control, you know. So, Arise, like I said, I think I picked it up super cheap, like $5 during the last couple of Xbox sales. And I don't know. It seems like it's going to be like one of them little fun Robin games.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Yeah, sorry for that. Yeah. Do you know,
we have Robinism games.
It looks right. Like, what was the game creator studio that was on the Xbox? What was it called?
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Well, it looks like...
I know what you're talking about.
It kind of looks like it was created in that. It has that, you know, all the images and the characters are all sort of bubbly, plasticine-y sort of thing to it.
Yep.
Yeah, but it looks nice. It looks like my sort of thing. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why Issey Miyake about the little fox pops into my head as well. It feels like that sort of style of it. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely. Yeah. Lovely.
And
very
they,
nice.
You know, the reviews I've read, they said that the platforming part of the game can get a little tricky at times. And I haven't quite, I mean, I've died a lot, which is funny for a guy that's already dead. But, you know, I've died a lot because, like, there'll be a jump that is higher off the ground than what it looks, so then I fall off the rock, and of course then I die. And the camera is a little tricky because the camera doesn't always follow you where you go, so that makes it kind of difficult to gauge jumps and that sort of thing, but I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Apparently it only takes like 8 hours to beat, so it'll take me like 20. So see how it goes, but I don't know. I started this, I think, mainly because I didn't want to jump into another big, long game because that's kind of what I've been doing lately is these big, long... Well, for me, it's like 300-500 hour, you know, games. If I was a normal person and just played the main story and didn't venture off into side quests, I'd be done by now. But, you know, that's me and that's how I am.
We'll talk a little later, Kim. Maybe have another game for you in that regard.
All right. So, yeah, I'm doing this one for now. Eventually, I think when my free time frees up, I'll probably jump into Valhalla or something like that and go back into like 300-400 hour games. But for now, this works for me. So.
All right.
And that's it. So.
Okay.
Newsflash, my service champion's appointment is for tomorrow. They're coming out looking at my heater and HVAC unit, doing the yearly checkup.
Oh, thank God. I'm glad you cleared that up, because I wasn't really sure what the hell we were talking about.
I know, exactly. all right, Robin, let us move to you.
Yes.
Okay, well, I've actually played something new for me this week. Not lots of it, about an hour or so, an hour and a half of it. That I played some Star Wars Squadrons, and
yes, curious to hear what you think.
Yeah, well, I've pretty much played the the introduction and the prologue of it. So you play in a TIE fighter, and you play in an X-wing. So this is a space battles game,
right?
I hear it's got really, really good multiplayer. It came out back in last year, I think, November, October, the 2nd to be exact, 2020. It looks fabulous. It is a Star Wars game. From what I see so far, you're playing, the story is developing. There was this guy, a captain, flying an X-wing, who seems to he moves over to the other side. What's that called?
Goes to the dark side.
No, he goes to the good side. Well, if you call the... So he... What was it when a Russian comes over to America?
He
changes
sides. Anyway, he switches allegiance.
Yes, that's it, yeah. So there's some interesting characters in it. It seems beautiful to look at. As far as space battles are concerned... Have I went quiet or something? Is it okay?
No. I'm hanging on your words here, because I have some very definitive thoughts about this game now.
Okay.
So I'm curious if you and I are on the same page.
As far as space battles are concerned, Elite and the way Elite controls a space battle, where you know where you are in your space, your 360 space, is the definitive way to know where you are. This doesn't have it. I'm kind of fucking, what? It's like Top Gun, like, yeah, he went this way and he went that way and we were dead. Like, we won, man. No, you didn't, man. It was fucking like that. It's like, okay, thank God, because you can press A to go to the next target and you go to the next target. But there's not a really clear way to navigate to the next target apart from following the on-screen arrows rather than... It's Elite light as far as the navigation is concerned. It's lovely. Yeah. I always wanted to fly an X-Wing and a TIE Fighter back again from all those years ago in the 80s on PC when we played things like that. And there is a certain lovely thing about doing it. But whether or not there's enough depth in this
I think the depth is the question for sure. I am right there with you. I found targeting to be the biggest challenge in this game, because it is tough to make out the different spacecraft with the background. It's hard to put in words, but the aesthetics of the environment do not help in the actual combat component to it. I think this game probably in VR would be better. That would be my guess.
Yeah,
but I don't know for sure. I don't know.
Do we need one of Mark's condoms things? You know,
I haven't hooked up the old Thrustmaster to play this game. I probably should. I'm tempted to, because it does have Thrustmaster support. Because every game should have some kind of Thrustmaster support, but. Overall, I'm right there with you, Robin. The depth doesn't feel like it's really there, and I was frustrated by kind of how it controls more than I was like, oh, this controls really intuitively.
I love it. I love doing it, but I don't know if it's just a novelty.
I think I like the idea of it more than I actually enjoyed doing it.
It feels like a spin-off of Jedi. What's the other one I'm sort of playing at the moment as well? The Jedi Wookiee Master Ginger Boy. That one.
Right.
It feels like a sub story part of it rather than a whole game.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And this also is probably why it got onto EA Game Pass.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
I'm not saying it's bad. It is really. It's probably the definitive.
It's a very polished Star Wars game. Yeah, but
yeah,
I mean, no Ginger Jedi.
I mean, looking at even Wikipedia, it says the game received generally positive reviews upon release, gaining praise for its immersive gameplay and multiplayer component, while facing some criticism over its bugs and story. So, I don't know. Yeah. So, like, if you ever wondered what it was like to fly a X-Wing or a TIE Fighter, this is it. But maybe after you've done that for an hour or so, you might have had enough.
I want to hear about this next game on your list. Because I'm very curious. I'm assuming you loaded this onto the internal drive of the Series X. And if you didn't, that should be something you do next. Because I want to see how well Forza 7 does.
There's another game. Yeah, I have. Yes, internally. There is another game that I didn't put on there, which I played this afternoon for several hours again, but I'll get back to it. So I came out here. I said to Judith the other night, I think part of the problem over the last few months for me is I've spent so much time sitting here working. I can go and turn around and I've got a 65-inch or whatever it is, 4K TV over there. I don't want to be in this room.
I don't blame you. That's why I don't like gaming in my office, ironically.
This is the perfect room. It has every mod con. It's fabulous. It's wonderful. But I want to be out of it, and that's part of the problem with my gaming funk has been. So, but the other night, I said to Judith, you know what? I'm going to go out for an hour, and I'm going to play. And I came out, and I started to flick through. And a few things that I wanted to play had needed updating. So I ended up in Forza 7 again. And I was driving games is my thing.
Yeah.
And I played, I see there's so much more content has been added to it. And I played a whole 6 races in a single player series. And they've added that free content for me. Fabulous. Looks absolutely gorgeous. The load times are really, really quick now on the Series X because it was out here.
That's what I wanted to, because that was a problem with Forza 7 originally. It was load times getting to the races took a bit.
Hmm.
It was not a quick thing.
I wouldn't say it's that much different, but it feels just right now. Do you know what I mean? There is still track loading and stuff in the background, but it didn't seem like hurry up. But it looks fabulous, looks great. I mean, this game came out in 2017, I believe it was. October 2017. So it's old now. It's ready for a new one. Loved it, played it. I then played those 6 races, and then I went and played some multiplayer. The multiplayer hoppers, there's too many now. There must be 50. There must be 50. So the first couple are supposed to be for newbies, which have no collisions on, and away you go. And I played a couple of races there, but I tried to go into the ones that I would have played, which was the sort of C class, which is your standard car souped up. That was the class that I played a multiplayer. Nobody in it, couldn't get a game. But there was still lots and lots of players in the standard, most popular vanilla ones. So it still looks good. Again, I spent a good bit of time with it. Today, I went into a game again. I played Inside the House, so that was on the Scorpio, which is Assassin's Creed Rogue Remastered. I had played it on the X. Remember, it came out on the Xbox One, but it wasn't remastered. It was just for the Xbox One, and then it came out with a remastered version. So I've started to play a new playthrough of it, and it's so much fun. Again, the uncanny valley bit of the characters are a bit crappy, but there's something lovely about basic Assassin's Creed gameplay. And I know it expands and there's lots of shanties and loot to get and things to find. but it's an awful lot more toned down than some of the bigger games. And there's something, you can almost taste the salt water in the big ship sections, which are out there, you know, shooting at the British, looting the ships, you know, and that's, there's something just really lovely about that type of game. And Black Flag, I think, is one of my, I think 2 and Black Flag are my favorites. I haven't played some of the
Black Flag still stands out as my favorite.
Yeah, but there's a lot of Black Flag in this. So I think I'm gonna crack on at that now time. So I played it for a couple of hours this morning and loved it. So yeah, that's what I've been at. So
awesome.
I've actually had
before
carved it some
before
time.
before we continue forward. Kim,
yeah.
We should do a quick shout out. I don't know if we have anybody in the chat. I have not been paying attention at all,
let's
give some love. All right,
a big shout out to Boomer for being in the chat. So. Thank God somebody's in there. Otherwise, I'd be talking to myself. And Ryan.
Everybody's probably looking for us on Saturday night.
I know, right? I apologize. Oh, goodness, there's the date. 11th of April. It is the 11th of April. I apologize on the main feed screen. The usual thing, the chat that used to pop up, isn't working right now. And I think something was changed, and I haven't got that quite there. It's on Twitch and everything else, but the screen...
It's okay. We blame Mark.
Yeah, it's all Mark's fault.
Yep.
It is all Mark's fault. All right. I have continued to play Outsiders. Jeez. Have another drink, Greg. Outriders. which is the Outsiders to Destiny, Gears of War, and Defiance. Huh? How do you like that? That's pretty good. So Outriders, if you're not familiar with this game, it is a Square Enix looter shooter.
Just came out. On the screen now.
Yep. It is absolutely. In fact, it was interesting. We were having a chat in our WhatsApp group. We were talking about, you know, kind of what influenced Outriders and Gears and Destiny and Defiance. I think are all three influences to this because they feel, you know, Defiance from a story side of it, that's what this game feels like. Game mechanics, it is definitely a combination of Gears of War and Destiny. I don't think there's any way around that. I think that's what this game is. Does it do anything great? Like, oh my God, this is the greatest game ever? No. It borrows heavily from all three of these different previous games, but it does it good. And so I want to just put that out there. I have thoroughly been enjoying my time with Outriders. You know, talked about this before on the demo when it came out. I did the Pyromancer and I didn't really enjoy it. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to get on with this game or not. I went back through and restarted it and went with the Trickster character class. And so this character class has abilities like a Vorpal. I think it's called a Vorpal Blade, which is kind of like, basically think of it like an energy blade as a in close quarters attack. You have the ability to create a bubble shield that everything that comes into the bubble shield slows down. And this is awesome. So you're in the bubble shield, anything that comes into it slows down. So enemies that are charging you will slow down. But also bullets coming into the bubble shield, you will see just individual bullets all traveling through the shield. And, you can get out of the way of them, obviously. And then there's a warp ability. There's other abilities you'll gain, but those are kind of the three first ones you get. And the warp ability is you lock onto a target or just put your cursor over a target. You hit your warp ability, and you will jump, in a sense, kind of warp in behind them. And so it's a great way to just, if you say you see a sniper up top and they've been peppering you, you could just warp up behind the sniper and take them out. And so it is... It got that right, I think, good mix of these different genre games to create something that is good. Is it great? No, the story is campy at times. It's okay. It's not, you know, there's a lot of holes in the story. And we talked about King Kong versus Godzilla and having holes in the story. This has some even bigger holes where you're just kind of like, this is not making sense to me in terms of how, you know, you've only been, well, premise of the story, you come to this planet, Earth is basically destroyed, it's dead, mm-hmm. You had to leave,
You get to this planet with only one ship. I think they tell you the population of the people in the ship, but it's not a ton of people. And so you land on this planet. You're trying to settle this planet. A bunch of shit goes sideways, and you end up going kind of into cryosleep. And this is all part of the demo, so I'm not really spoiling anything. You end up going into cryosleep, and you come out of it, and the world has changed. And it's kind of like you realize there's, in a sense, like a civil war has erupted on the planet. Mm-hmm. But there's a big jump from when you go into cryosleep to when you come out of it. It's not that long of a period of time that it would equate to the number of people and casualties that you're seeing. Anyway, I don't want to get into the minutiae of that, but let's just say you'll go through the story and just be like, okay, that's okay. But that aside, it does some good things. Loading times are incredibly fast, and I think that's also something that really helps this game out, especially on the Series X, and I'm assuming the PS5, and probably PC as well, because it does do a lot of loading screens. And I think if I was on a slower system where it was taking 15, 20 seconds, even half a minute, this would feel obnoxious. Mm. But the good news is, on the new consoles, the loading screens, I want to say, are roughly 6 seconds, if not faster.
Okay, so People Can Fly, they're the developer of this.
Yes.
So if you look at their chops, you know, their previous record, you'll have no surprise that they've done a port of Gears of War back in 2007. Right. In 2013, they'd done a Gears of War Judgment. And they also remastered the versions of Bulletstorm. And they also done a version of Fortnite called Fortnite Save the World for Epic Games in conjunction with Epic Games. So the things that you're saying kind of all make sense. So there is Gears of War. There is sort of that Fortnite-y thing. There is Bulletstorm in there. You can see all the stuff they've learnt. And they've went out and done their own thing, and no surprise then, it's sort of a mix of all of those things.
Yeah. And the loot is good. And what also is nice, I've talked about before how games sometimes really throw you into the deep end quickly. This game does a really good job of kind of taking you along the path of understanding upgrades and different systems within the game. So there is crafting ability, but you don't get crafting ability right away. It's not something that's going to overwhelm you. I like what they've done in this game. In terms of the visuals, it looks good. Again, not like, oh my God, the greatest thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. It looks good. And so I will say, sound effect-wise, it's another area that's interesting. Sound effect-wise, the guns in the game, I absolutely love the sound of the guns. They have a meaty thump to them, and you just really, I enjoy shooting in this game. And another nice aspect of the game does not just rely on guns or rely on abilities. You really do need a mix of both to get through, especially as you get into tougher difficulties. The one area where it's not as great is explosions. For whatever reason, like when grenades go off, they have kind of more of a thump to them as opposed to an explosive sound, which I think in some respects might be a little bit more realistic, but the grenades feel weak in comparison to the guns when you hear the sounds of them. But overall, I really have been enjoying it. This is a game that I think is come out at the perfect time. It's a good game. It's not a great game, but they are going to enjoy great success because there just isn't a lot around them. They don't have a lot of competition. And probably the biggest competition they had was Cyberpunk, and Cyberpunk really fell on its face with all its problems. And so Outriders, despite having some server issues where people were having connectivity, especially early on, it is, I think, being timed just perfectly to really hit and be a home run for Square Enix. So,
Tell me, Greg.
It's a great game.
So, is this free to play? Is it?
No, it's not free to play.
It is on Game Pass. So this launch day and date on Game Pass, but it is a paid game. So it is $60.
Okay.
It is, I don't think they have any paid DLC from what I understand. So there's nothing like that in the game, at least so far. Granted, who knows, maybe they come out with that down the road. But you know, overall, it's pretty solid.
So it does, it kills your dick then?
They don't get into the dick killing and stuff like that. Yeah.
Sad.
It's not got the Bulletstorm humor to it. There's a couple little, you know, moments here and there, but nothing like, you know, it's not going for that full on cheese, crass humor.
Okay.
But yeah. So, you know, look, if you have Game Pass, you have no excuse to not try this game. Go download it, try it, give it a whirl. I will say the other aspect of this game, the negative, if you will, is it starts off pretty interesting. I would say the first 30, 40 minutes of the game, it's, you know, very colorful, vibrant. And then they get into a good, I don't know, an hour or two worth of gameplay that becomes very drab. Reminds me very much of early Gears of War, where there's not a lot of color to it. It feels like a big departure. And at first, my concern was, this is the real game, and it's going to be boring as all get out to look at visually. But the good news is they do not stick there. It does get away from that, and it really opens up into a bigger game, and bigger in different environments and different enemy types. That's the other great part about it, is it's not just one enemy type. There are creatures and things that you'll fight, and the tactics of these different creatures and stuff, and the other resistance, if you will. It's nice because it will challenge you. They flank you. They do use cover. And so they will, you know, combined rush you and try and flank you and things like that. So it will keep you on your toes. It's meant for co-op, but you can play it single player. You can determine if you keep your game open or closed. So you can have it open to the public. You have open only to friends, or closed, and that just is going to be a single player experience for you. So if you have Game Pass, like I said, download it. There's no reason not to try this game.
Okay.
But give it a good hour or so before you make a full determination. That would be what I would say.
Okay.
So yeah, that's it. Outriders. And that's it for me for games. So apparently we have a quiz.
Get away from the windows.
Now look. Wow, we do.
Good. It's time for the quiz. Yeah, you know what? Oh, too bad. Tough.
Okay, guys, tonight's quiz is all about Boomer. So, can you tell me, Boomer MD5, what did he think of Bulletstorm? Did he think it was crap? Did he think it was cool? Did he think it was nice?
I'm not paying attention to the chat.
I know for a fact he... I wouldn't have to look at chat, but I know for a fact he liked Bulletstorm. So,
So I was going to go with crap.
Good, so crap, or nice?
I'll take the loss. What was that?
Good, crap, or nice?
I will say he thought it was crap.
Good.
Ah, you are all wrong. He thought it was nice. Okay. Boomer MD. When did he join and start following us on Twitch? Was it on January the 7th, February the 7th, or March the 7th, 2021?
February.
And Kim?
January.
I'm sorry, you're all wrong. He started following us on March the 7th, 2021. Okay, finally, how many O's are in Boomer MD? Is it 2, 3, or 4?
2.
It's 3.
And Kim gets it right. Very good. And Kim is the winner of this week's quiz. Thank you very much. That was the Boomer quiz. Thank you very much. And moving on to some news now.
Here is the fucking news.
Boomer, I would just like to say, Boomer, I'm disappointed you do not have an extra O in your name. That is the way the kids would do it. I'm just saying. All right.
That's called that fan great. Support. Boomer's in the chat, so why not? And Big Smooth's there, too.
Well, Big Smooth is going to be excited because we have some Sony news to talk about, because I know how much he loves hearing about Sony. All right, let's get on with it. Here we go, some news. Sony, they've been in the news a lot lately. But apparently Sony is going to look to expand to mobile. And this hasn't been officially announced, of course, but again, you know, our sleuths in the internet sometimes find things that point in a direction. And this basically is Sony pointing in a direction of wanting to bring some popular PlayStation game franchises to phones. And how this was found out was Eurogamer noticed that Sony is hiring an executive at PlayStation Studios that would focus on bringing PlayStation's most popular franchises to mobile. While the listing is unsurprising, it really is unsurprising, but it doesn't mention any titles or time frames. But it does state the head of mobile would develop a 3 to 5 year strategy. So you have to think they're looking to get this going in a relatively quick fashion. So in the next 3 to 5 years, expect to see all of your Sony PlayStation games on mobile.
We let everybody else work out the kinks and then.
Exactly. You know? Hey, look, the mobile is a big component of gaming. You cannot deny that. So this makes a lot of sense. This could be maybe part of their strategy to create something similar to Game Pass, where they have, you know, cloud gaming on mobile devices. Who knows? Who knows? Hmm. Speaking of cloud gaming, Amazon Luna. So apparently they now have a 720p stream setting that will allow you to play when you have poor connectivity. So this was something that was just introduced. Basically, it's a 720p option for the Luna service to reduce data consumption. So if you have those variable data caps where they start restricting your streaming, you have that ability.
Especially if you're playing on a mobile device, it doesn't really matter. Really?
Yes. The future, Google Stadia.
Wow!
They announced some new games. This is exciting.
Are you serious?
Some new games got announced for Google Stadia. 10 new games of the indie variety. So, and of course, this is Google trying to make good on their original value proposition of having 400 plus titles within the Google Stadia backend. We're going back to the backend.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so I already know this is incorrect. I know Robin has been doing his thing, but we have the Dark Side Detective fumble in the dark.
I didn't do it. I didn't. Honestly, I didn't. I love that. I'm sorry. I highlighted that because I love that term, a fumble in the dark. That brings me back to my youth.
Yeah. Well, a fumble in the dark also seems like it's appropriate for Google Stadia. But yeah, that will be coming April 15th. So just a couple days away. That is a sequel to a retro style point and click game. That's your first Google Stadia game. Then announced 100 Days Winemaking Simulator.
Oh, dear.
That'll be May 13th. That might intrigue me just from the wine simulator part of it.
Be like vinegar.
Foreclosed will be in the summer. A narrative driven mystery game in a cyberpunk world.
Now, here's something that interests me. The next one,
Figment 2. Creed Valley.
Now, if you remember, I raved about Figment, the first one last year on PC. Yep. I was given it, I think, at the last EGX. I think I was given a free copy to play, and it was friggin' awesome. A really good, twisty game. So, wow. Okay.
Would you love it enough to sign back up for Stadia?
No. And no, absolutely not, because I have my internet connection as good as I can possibly get it, and it's nowhere near as good for this stuff here. So,
Additional games slated coming soon for Stadia. Grime, I guess it's Grime, technically. It's a side-scrolling RPG. Then we've got She Dreams Elsewhere.
Oh, I love that title, too. That's a great title.
It's a very nice title, yeah. It's actually, you play as a comatose woman on a journey to confront her fears.
I love comatose women. They're very handy.
who doesn't love a comatose woman on a date? All right. Merrick's Market.
Sorry. Hold on a second. Let's stop there now. We are It's just, that's really dark, okay?
Yeah, no. Dark. Okay, we're okay. Having fun, kids. Yeah. We're having fun. Play along. All right, Merrick's Market also announced it is a chaotic crafting game that puts you in charge of a medieval armory. We have Death Carnival, which is a top-down shooter. We have Sky Climbers, which is a multiplayer city-building game with RPG elements. And then finally, probably the best game out of the bunch, if you ask me, Jay and Silent Bob, Chronic Blunt Punch.
See, now, there's a name of a game which doesn't have the same sort of class as, you know, A Fumble in the Dark or She Dreams Elsewhere. It doesn't have the same je ne sais quoi of those other titles. It's but a bit more...
It? Because it's a game about stoners.
Silent Bob, Chronic Blunt Punch. Okay.
It's a game about stoners.
Okay.
All right, yeah. So that is your Stadia moment. So if you're still subscribed to Stadia, why? But okay, good on you. You've got 10 games to look forward to this year. Games we don't get to look forward to for a little bit longer now. Arcane Delayed Deathloop. So this is the... Bethesda Studios, Arcane developer, they were developing Deathloop for the Sony PlayStation 5 in terms of a timed exclusive and PC. It was originally supposed to come out last year. It got delayed because of COVID. It was supposed to come May 21st, and now it has been pushed to September 14th. So it will come out September 14th. It will be on PC and PlayStation 5 when it comes out, and the PlayStation will enjoy a year of exclusivity before it comes to any other console.
Oh, hold on. So,
yeah?
Who just bought Bethesda?
That would be Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
So this is coming out on PC and PlayStation 5. Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow, such a mess.
So this is that whole thing of Microsoft said they would not mess around with any previously, you know, created deals. And Sony created two exclusivity deals with Bethesda-led studios. So there's Deathloop, and then I think it's Tango Studios is creating, is it Ghostwire? I think it's Ghostwire.
Okay.
And that game will also be exclusive to the PlayStation 5 for a time, and then it will come to Xbox console.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of Xbox, Microsoft and Nintendo both announced they will be part of E3. Even though it's an all-digital event, they will be part of it. They're part of the confirmed studios that will be taking part. In fact, we have a list of those confirmed so far in terms of the big ones. So we have Nintendo, Xbox. We also have Capcom, Konami, Ubisoft, Take-Two Interactive, Warner Brothers Games, and Koch Media will all be part of this year's E3 digital event, which that excites me. It's a pretty good lineup of studios.
So do you think will they all do it on their own little in their own little houses?
I think they'll all do it in their own little houses, and I think they will have similar to what we had before. We had press conference days, lineups of different studios that do the same thing.
Get on the phone to the man. We'll join in as well. We can be part of E3. Get them. We'll be part of that lineup. Give them a call. We'll help you out here. We'll help bring people in.
I mean, if you really think about it, E3 has been a pretty much a digital event for the general public years. So I don't think this really changes too much. So I'm excited they're coming back. We're going to have that block of time dedicated to game announcements. And I think that's what we need in this industry. So this excites me.
Yeah. We should anchor it.
You know, not part of this, omitted from this, and I don't think we will see any of these people possibly, one, change their mind. But Sony, EA, Activision Blizzard, Square Enix, Sega, and Bandai Namco. They all traditionally haven't done their own events anyway, with the exception of Square. I think they have occasionally done some of their own events at E3, that is. Sony had bowed out a couple years back. EA had actually bowed out even before that, which the irony is EA still does their own event around E3. They just don't do it in E3. So I expect we'll see an EA Play event somewhere in the same time frame as E3. And then Activision, they never ever did an E3 event. They would just show up on somebody's stage, so I still expect them to show up in somebody's event, whether it be Microsoft, possibly Nintendo, who knows. But I suspect we'll see the next Call of Duty game make its appearance
And, you know, Square Enix, same thing. They don't do their own events these days, nor do Sega and Bandai. So it makes sense. But E3 is back. It'll be free, digital. We're good. And that's it for the news.
Cool. Excellent.
Yeah. Kim. Mm.
Yes.
We have these things called new releases. They're games that we get to play. Yeah.
We have a few. Yes. Yes, we do. All right. Your new releases for April 11th through 17th. We have Poison Control for the PlayStation 4 and Switch on April 13th. I'm not sure if that's, you know, where you work for as a poison control operator and you answer phone calls. I don't know. Anyway, Ashwalkers, right? Ashwalkers for the PC on April 15th. Saga Frontier Remastered for PlayStation 4, Switch, PC, iOS, and Android on the 15th as well. And then Super Meat Boy Forever for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One on the 16th as well. And those are your new releases. Anything there, Grab? Any of you?
81 degrees in Lincoln, California. Yes, that grabs me.
I've noticed that I have my window open and it's been increasingly getting warmer in this room, and I'm like, I should check the temperature. Yeah, it has risen a good 7 degrees since we started this podcast.
Okay.
Cool. All right. Thank you for that, Kim. Nothing really exciting on that list.
No.
There's part of me that's okay with it being slow on one hand, because it's obviously letting us get into our back catalog. But it is kind of hard to get excited for next gen when we just aren't seeing games that really get us excited for next gen. Because even Outriders, as much as I'm enjoying it, I don't look at it and visually I'm like, oh my God, this is next gen. It's a good looking game. It's not exciting me for next gen. But then again, maybe if I was playing this on a different console that was slower, maybe I would be excited because you know, the load times are incredibly fast. I don't know what it's like on the regular consoles for that game. So, all right. We have playdates. We have the Minecraft Realm. If you are a Minecrafter, don't forget we have a Minecraft Realm for you to join. It's our existing Minecraft Realm that we built out. If you're into Minecraft. I am not. This is so not me. No. So, Robin, do we know what this is actually called?
It's the Minecraft Realm, and we're really terrible because I'm paying for it right now, and I'm paying for the server, and all the server and everything that we developed last year and the year before is all alive again, and all the worlds, if you're ever in that server, there you can go back and visit it all. I promise you I will find that all out. If you want to tweet me at BongoTheSane, I will find that out and give you the details. If you want to be part of that or come back in again, I'm sure if you were in it, you remember. I don't. I'm old. But Filthy is hosting that server. And if you have his Twitter, he'll get you back in there as well. But if you want to be part of that wonderful Minecraft realm, it's all live again. And come and join it. Come and join it.
Yeah, I hear we're letting people with their screen names starting with B. They can join at a discount. So, Boomer, Big Smooth, you have a code coming to you for a discount coupon. Kim will send it to you, I promise.
Okay, this week, Greg, I had the privilege of sending a voucher for £15 off the Queen's good money. May Prince Philip rest in peace. So Mr. Killer Cranky received his winnings this week. And that's all been sorted. For victory achieved, he finished a game, big chore, and he won money. And that's what victory achieved is. You finish.
It is.
Finish games, send a picture of yourself with your lovely smiling face, send it off to @OC_podcast with a hashtag victory achieved, and you get entered in a draw just for finishing your game. Take a photograph on the credits at the end. And what
again can they win?
They can win £15 sterling or $20 of the US variety.
But it's in Xbox Live currency.
Xbox Live, PSN, Steam, Robin Fund, and.
Right. But we don't send cash, so they can't spend it on hookers and blow.
Damn it!
Damn it! If they really asked for that, I would make that
happen. Okay.
If they really had the cheek, if they had the cheek to ask for it, I would make it happen. Mr. Keller,
look, I thought Hookers and Blow was off the table, but it's back on the table. If you win Victor's Achieve, Hookers and Blow on us.
Anyway, so
for 50, as much as you can get for $15.
So get to sending in, send in your entries, because you're losing out on money. Losing out, so send your entries. Now, this week we had Mr. Miyagi out in Australia, and he finished Yakuza 6, The Song of Life, and it really touched him deeply. It really did. It got him. He really got it. So he's entered into that draw. He has an entry. And for that, for being such a great lad, we play the song, sound of Boomer and Big Smooth hugging. Absolutely.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. A victory's achieved.
Just sounds like it.
It does. It really just sounds like those two hugging. Look, get on it, folks. The more you lose, I mean, look, you're missing out on at least 1 minute, maybe just 30 seconds of Hooker and Blow time of your choice. So
come to Belfast. You got 3 hours.
On that note, let us finish up. Again, if you have listened to the podcast this far, we thank you. If you are joining us live, you know we are on twitch.tv. We're also on YouTube in terms of our video playback. You can check us out on Facebook. We have a page, Facebook, fb.ocpod.com. We're on Twitter, @OC_podcast. That's where you predominantly will be responded to by Robin in code. But every once in a while, some of us will also show up. Other things happen on this show that I'm sure are happening right now that I don't even know that are happening. Kim,
yes.
why don't you start off the shout-outs?
All right. Back to our chat here. I'm going to shout out Boomer. I'm going to shoot out. Jesus criminy. Shout out Big Smooth and Martin, who's also in the chat. So thanks, guys, for stopping by and making the chat, because otherwise...
Welcome to the party, pal.
Yeah.
Right? Shout out to you too. It's been fun, but then I say that every podcast, so it's never not fun. I mean,
because every podcast is goddamn fun.
Exactly. You know, I can be in the shittiest mood possible, and I can come on here, and it sorts itself out. It's fine. So thanks for that. I guess other than that, I have a surprise coming up this week, and that's all I'm gonna say. So.
Topless Kim.
Kim's taking pictures on the Bobcat, folks.
Actually, that never mind. Yeah. So I got a little thing coming out this week. So stay tuned. So I will let you know when it happens.
Yeah.
So over to Robin. Yeah.
Okay.
Get your mind out of the gutters, folks.
Sorry.
We're gonna stay right there, and then we'll be disappointed appropriately.
Okay. So
right, exactly.
These guys that are doing this, these young upstarts that have done this Joysticks and Chill podcast.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. They've asked me to come and do this 60-second interview thing, which I think lots of people have done, which I'm going to do. And I've started listening to their show, and it's really good, actually. It's a nice buddy show. I've listened to a few episodes of it. Really, really good. Lovely to hear John and Jay. Jay is so talented. And especially Neasy does it. I met this chap, John, nice guy. But it's lovely to hear Dan podcasting on the show again.
Yeah.
So that's lovely that he's found a nice, lovely home. So I'm going to do that this week if I can manage to get some time. So,
hey, if you do, Robin, just remind James when he actually does that with you to record it this time first. When I did it with him, great read through. It was great, and he fucking forgot to record it.
Do you know what? I might actually record it myself and send it to him, because I don't trust that fucker.
I wouldn't either.
That's worth a listen. Nice to hear like guys coming on that have been inspired by those wankers at Veteran Gamers. Those are nice guys, Veteran Gamers, and ourselves and all the old fellas that have been around for a long time. I will once again mention @_ love Sharon Foster on Instagram. Have a wee look at that. It's good. Life is busy, be safe, be good, mm-hmm. be nice, and you guys are wonderful, or something. And you know what Greg said earlier on about burying people and planting endangered species of flowers? Ignore that. As far as this talk about struggling with your day-to-day life is concerned and reaching out to us, listen to me what I'm saying. Pick up the phone to us. Send us a message. We don't know you that well. We're not going to judge. So if you need that sort of person in your life, and sometimes that's really important, if you just want to vent, contact any of us on the show. We will give you our mobile number if you don't have it already, and we'll chat to you, or just chat by text or DM or whatever it is. Just reach out. Don't suffer in silence. Please. Yeah,
no, 100% agree. Reach out. I am happy to give you Robin's number.
Yeah.
And you know, we will absolutely be there for you as long as you call Robin. I'm kidding. We really are there for you guys. All right. you know what? It is a joy. Every week, I do love doing this podcast. That's why I've been doing it for so long. I mean, we're no couch mercenaries, but I think we've actually are better. Sorry, Big Smurf. anyway, look, come back. Have fun with it. Come back. Spend some time with us again next week. It may be the same cast. It may be a different cast. That's the good part about this. And we'll talk some more games. We'll talk about monster movies and all the things that we found totally realistic within that show and pass that along. We will shout out our loved ones. We will shout out our friends. And that qualifies you, the listener, in our inner circle. So I think we can call this a podcast. We can wrap it up. Robin, take us away.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.